Matthew chapter 15. How many of you guys were here last week for Matthew chapter 14? It comes right after chapter 14. It's the way the Holy Spirit recorded it. And there's a reason for it, and we'll see if we can find that out this morning. So, how many of you guys change your own oil in your car? We talked a little bit about car maintenance. Yeah, a couple of us. Yeah, change your own oil. You got to maintain your car every once in a while to keep it going, right? Some of you are like, no, I don't maintain anything. But the reason we change the oil in our cars is to keep the oil free of contaminants. And in order for the oil to lubricate and protect the engine properly, it has to be clean. And contaminants can enter in a variety of places in a variety of ways. It can come in from the atmosphere in the form of dust. You could have an internal leak in the engine where you get coolant in the oil, or I used to be a mechanic, so I kind of geek out. I've had to work on a lot of these things. Sometimes if there's an oil pump, hydraulic oil pump, or a fuel injection pump, you'd get diesel entering into the engine oil or hydraulic oil entering into the engine oil, contaminating the oil and thereby rendering it ineffective to do its job. Usually, it's really easy to see the contamination. Either it's over full, or it's a different color, or it smells weird, or whatever. You look at the oil and you go, man, there's something wrong with that. It's contaminated. But it's often much harder to discern the source of the contamination. And it's even harder sometimes to determine how to fix it. What's the proper course of action to clean this up, to repair this? And if we're honest this morning, I think we can all see that we're living in a world that's been contaminated in some way, hasn't it? We look at the news headlines, we look at things happening, we're like, man, this can't be right, this can't be good. And we've all experienced some kind of contamination in our own lives, right? You ever felt anything? Maybe you've said something or done something, and it just brings shame, and it's just like, oh, why? Maybe hurt, maybe pain. And it's like, you just feel, this can't be the way God meant it to be for my life. I know I've experienced that. Well, today, in the section we're in, Jesus is going to point out to the Pharisees, who they were trying to clean themselves up by following religious rules and traditions. But Jesus reveals to them they haven't really found the source of the contamination. And later, as we go on, he's going to reveal to the disciples, he's going to pinpoint right where that contamination is, and that is in the hearts of each one of us. And so I think, yeah, we already got the outline up here, very simple outline for our sections today. We're going to be going through verse 20, but would you join me in prayer as we start this morning? Father, thank you for your word. Thank you that, Lord, your word tells us of the uncleanness of the pollution or the contamination in our hearts and in this world. But Lord, thank you so much that your word also tells us a solution, and that you are actually the one who sent and made a solution to clean our hearts, to cleanse our hearts from impurity. And Lord, thank you that you have a heart, Lord. You want to set things, you want to set this world right, you want to set our hearts right. And thereby setting this world right, one heart at a time. And that's, we know that's going to happen when you come back, Lord, when you set up your kingdom, when you establish your rule and your reign, Lord. And so this morning, as some of us, all of us, Lord, have hurt and pain and suffering, doubts, fears, things in our lives, Lord, that you want to heal, that you want to maybe expose and then restore, Lord, would you do that work this morning as we make our way through your word? And we pray in Jesus' name, amen. Amen. You guys warm enough? Is it warm enough in here? Maybe we can flip the heater off.
plenty warm up here, just so you know. Okay, so let's just read here in chapter 15, starting in verse 1, and we'll read through verse 9. Then Pharisees and scribes came to Jesus from Jerusalem and said, "Why do your disciples break the tradition of the elders? For they do not wash their hands when they eat." And he answered them, "And why do you break the commandment of God for the sake of your tradition? For God commanded, 'Honor your father and your mother.' And whoever reviles father or mother must surely die. But you say, 'If anyone tells his father or his mother, what you would have gained from me is given to God, he need not honor his father.' So, for the sake of your tradition, you have made void the word of God. You hypocrites! Well did Isaiah prophesy of you when he said, 'This people honors me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. In vain do they worship me, teaching as doctrines the commandments of men.'" And so as Jesus is finishing up there in Gennesaret, he's fed the 5,000. He's healing everyone who comes to them. It says here that the Pharisees and scribes came from Jerusalem. Now, this would have been quite a trek for these guys. Jerusalem was about 75 or 80 miles to the south. And so they've traveled up to see Jesus, to observe and listen to Jesus. No doubt they've heard of his popularity. They've heard of his teaching. And these are like the bigwigs. These are the guys. These aren't just Pharisees from Galilee or whatever. These guys are from Jerusalem. And they're coming up to make sure and see, investigating this new teacher, this new rabbi, seeing what all the fuss is about. And they come up, and Mark's gospel says they find fault. They found fault. They come up and they ask this question, and they say, "Hey, why don't your disciples wash their hands before they eat?" And this was I think this is important for us to understand. This is, they're referring to a ceremonial hand washing. Now, this wasn't the same kind of hand washing where, you know, you send your kids to, "Hey, every time we get home from going anywhere, Allie goes, 'Did you wash your hands? Ever, did you wash your hands? We've been out touching everything, all these places, you know, have you washed your hands?'" It's not the same kind of thing. This is like a ceremonial washing of hands. And the scripture tells us that this was a tradition of the elders. This isn't a rule or a law found in God's word. This was a tradition that the elders throughout the years that they had, it was like an oral tradition that was intended to help them keep the law, help them keep the laws found in the first five books of the Bible. But in and of itself, washing their hands was not a law. But they held these traditions authoritatively. They held them as high and sometimes even higher than the scriptures. And this one was evidently kept in order to make sure they kept these laws of what they could and could not eat. Now, there was laws, the dietary laws. You know, you could eat clean things, not unclean things. And evidently they said, well, if you washing your hands helps you make sure you keep some of those other rules. Now, Leviticus chapter 20, and there's a lot more that talks about this, but you can go back on your own for time's sake. Leviticus chapter 20, verse 26 says, "You are to be holy to me, because I, the Lord, am holy. And I've set you apart from the nations to be my own." And so, at a very basic level, this verse describes to us that God is holy. And that word holy just means set apart. And that the people of Israel are also to be set apart in a different kind of way, set apart to him, to know him, to follow him, and to be his people. And there's some things in the Old Testament that would make a person ceremonially, that would make them unclean. Ceremonially, there we go, unclean. And there was laws that would tell them how to do this. And typically it was like if you would eat something unclean or touch something unclean, touching a dead body, for example, if you had some sort of disease, you'd be ceremonially unclean. And then to be made clean or to be cleansed from that, there was, again, prescribed in the scriptures. Many times there was a period of waiting, washing in some cases. Almost every time there was a sacrifice that had to be offered in order to be made clean or purified, and so that you could engage again in corporate worship, so that you could be around other people, for example, so that you could be part of society. And for us as New Testament Christians, these rules and these rules of clean and unclean and things, Jesus fulfilled all those things. And so if we're believers in him, we don't have to, we're not under the law like they were at that time. But what it does do for us is it paints a picture for us of how our sin separates us from God. And how our sin and our uncleanness is a barrier to fellowship with God. Paints a really good picture for us. And so the Pharisees, they walk up and they go, hey, why don't your disciples wash their hands? And essentially what they're doing here is they're accusing the disciples of an inconsistency. And thereby, they're pretty much insinuating that they're unclean, that they've transgressed in some way because they didn't keep the tradition. And in typical Jesus fashion, he answers their question with a question. Oh, you want to know why they don't wash their hands, huh? Well, tell you what, I want to know why you break the commandment of God for the sake of your tradition. And in other words, he's asking, why are you holding the tradition of men in higher esteem than the word of God? And he offers them example of what they were doing, and he asks them this question. And he says, what about this commandment found in Exodus 20, verse 12? Honor your father and mother, that your days may be long in the land, and that the Lord your God is giving you. In Exodus 21, whoever curses his father and mother shall be put to death or die the death. God's written command to them, that's for their good, for them to observe, was to honor their father and mother and to not revile their father and mother. And in those days, there was no social security, there was no universal health care, retirement homes, IRAs, or whatever. And God's method of taking care of the older generation was by the care and support of their children. And so, for example, mom and dad, you know, have adult kids, they get in a jam, they need a loan, they need to pay the mortgage, they need food for the month, whatever it might be. And so it was up to the adult children to provide for their parents under the fifth commandment here. And a Jew, as someone who was under the Old Testament law and followed that, you were obliged to help them. And by the way, shouldn't we want to help our parents? Yeah, I guess it's the law. I guess I'll do it. But I really believe God's heart in this law is to show us, man, you should want to help you. We should want to bless our parents. Why should we want to help our parents? Because we love God. And God's word says, honor your mother and father. And so, yeah, I want to do that. But apparently for the Pharisees, it didn't suit them. They didn't like that. Why? Because it cost them something. Oh, honor your mother and father, huh? Well, I don't really know. That's kind of messy. That's kind of a lot of work. So they came up with a workaround. They came up with a little loophole, and they said, all you had to do was say, well, I could have met that deed. I could have met that need of yours, but all my resources have been given to God. So, sorry, can't do it. And that released the person from doing what God's word said, from actually doing what God's will was for them. They've made void the word of God. They've made it of no effect. And Jesus calls them out. He just goes, yeah, check it out. This is what you guys are doing. You're hypocrites. And then he quotes Isaiah 29, and he applies this Old Testament scripture to the Pharisees. He says, well did Isaiah prophesy of you, when he said this. And the leaders of that day, they're just giving lip service to God. They're just saying, oh yeah, we love God. Yeah, we love God's word. But then when it came to doing God's word, they're like, I don't know if I want to do that. I can remember when, I think I've probably told this story before, but when Allie and I were dating in college, she was a Christian who was kind of rebelling, and I was not a Christian, and we shouldn't have been dating at all, actually, for those of you who are still dating. But I can remember at one point in time, she just, the Holy Spirit was just really convicting her heart, and she was like, Eric, we need to, like, fear God. You know, like, just, you know, the way we were living, partying and stuff, it just wasn't, she was like, she was under this conviction of like, this is wrong, and we need to fear God, and we need to follow God. And I was like, yeah, I know. We do need to fear God, yeah. It was like, fear God? Yeah. Okay, yes, I fear God. That's what you want me to say, right? Like, you know, that's kind of how it was. I was like, in the back of my mind, I'm like, what is she talking about? Fear God. I have no clue what this means. What are you, you know, whereas she was convicted and I was just basically just giving her lip service. Say, yeah, sure, I fear God. Yeah, that's, you know, if that's going to make you like me. But really my heart was far from God, far from God. And that's exactly what Jesus is talking about here. And what Isaiah was talking about and how he says, this is you, you guys, your heart is far from God. And he calls them hypocrites. And that word hypocrite, the Greek word, just means, it carries the idea of an actor or a stage player. And many times they would wear masks, you know, up on stage. And so it's like someone who's acting a certain way on stage or acting, putting on a mask around this group of people or this place. They want to look a certain way, but really inside, they're not that way. They really didn't have the love of God in their heart. They might have said they loved God, but they really didn't love God because they didn't do what his word said. They valued their possessions more than they valued obeying God's word. And so they made a loophole. They were actors. They were trying to look the part. They were trying to cover up the contamination of their hearts by playing the part. But it really wasn't addressing the source. And so I know this is a challenging question. It's a challenging question to me. But is there something in God's word that you just don't really like? There's a couple things that, you know, I read in the Bible and I'm like, I know that's true. I agree with that, but I don't really like that. I don't think I really want to do that. Is there something in your life and you know it's not God's best for you, but you've made an excuse? Maybe some kind of addiction, pornography addiction, some kind of substance abuse. Maybe it's gossiping, slandering. I know for me, it's Romans 13. Anybody know that? I'm kind of an outlaw. Some of you know me well enough to know that. But Romans 13 says, let every person be subject to the governing authorities, for there is no authority except from God. And those that exist have been instituted by God. Therefore, whoever resists the authorities resists what God has appointed. Now, if somebody was to walk up and ask me, hey, do you love God? Yeah, I love God. Yeah, he saved me. I love the Lord. Do you love God's word? Absolutely. That's the most important thing in my life is following God, knowing God's word, following God's word. Cool. Why are you doing all this work without a permit? Because I don't really like what God's word says in Romans 13. And so I just kind of tried to find a loophole. Why aren't you reporting that on your tax return? Because I just don't really like that, where it says that in God's word. And so I just didn't do it. Man, this is to my shame, understand. This is convicting to me. Do you know what that is? That's hypocrisy. That's acting a certain way, but really in my heart, it's not that way. And what I really want is when love for God in my heart is pure and the contaminants have been cleansed from my heart, is that I trust God. And when I look at a verse like that and I say, I really don't want to get a permit for this. I really think it's ridiculous. It's going to cost way too much money. But you know what? I trust God. I love God and I trust God. And God's word says that. And so I'm going to trust that whatever the outcome is going to be good. That is super hard. That's really hard. But I believe that's what's important to the Lord. He wants our hearts to be pure. And so how is your heart toward God this morning? Maybe you're not sure. Maybe you're like, oh, I don't know. Maybe, yeah, I've struggled with that before. You know, maybe this morning you can just pray this prayer, Psalm 139. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my anxieties and see if there's any wicked way in me. Sometimes we just need to ask the Lord, Lord, is there any wicked way in me? Sometimes it's evident. It's like, yeah, there's something wicked there. But sometimes it's like, you know, Lord, would you just reveal that, whatever that is? And he will lead us in the way everlasting. Amen? He's a merciful God. Okay, let's read the next section here, verse 10. And he called the people to him and said to them, hear and understand, it is not what goes into the mouth that defiles a person, but what comes out of the mouth. This defiles a person. Then the disciples came and said to him, do you know that the Pharisees were offended when they heard the saying? And he answered, every plant that my heavenly Father has not planted will be rooted up. Let them alone. They are blind guides. And if the blind lead the blind, both will fall into a pit. But Peter said to him, explain the parable to us. And he said, I just don't know. I have to pause right here. I'm sorry. I don't know what tone to use to read this. I just don't know. Jesus replies, are you also still without understanding? Do you not see that whatever goes into the mouth passes into the stomach and is expelled? But what comes out of the mouth proceeds from the heart, and this defiles a person. For out of the heart come evil thoughts, murder, adultery, sexual immorality, theft, false witness, slander. These are what defile a person. But to eat with unwashed hands does not defile anyone. So it seems as though Jesus is having a private conversation, maybe kind of a little more intimate with the Pharisees. And he's like, man, you guys are hypocrites. And all of a sudden, in verse 10, it says he called all the people to him. He's like in a crowd. You ever had the gift of a You ever been in a crowd and you're like, you have to get the attention of the crowd? You have no choice. You just kind of have to holler. This is in my mind's eye. I'm like, Jesus had to be like, hey, everybody listen up. Everybody gather around here. I have something I want you to hear and understand. It's not what goes into the mouth that defiles a person. And what Jesus says here probably would have shocked them, everyone standing by. Mark chapter 7 has a little commentary. It says, thus he declared all foods clean. And so he says, listen, it's not what goes into your mouth that defiles you, but what comes out. And most of these people would have identified cleanness with some sort of good outward activity. Do the rules, keep the rules, do what you're supposed to, be a good little boy and girl, and you'll be good. Now we know in Matthew 5, 22 and Matthew 5, 28, Jesus already taught them before that murder, you know, what they thought before was, oh, as long as you don't kill anybody, you're good. And Jesus said, no, but if you hate someone in your heart, you've murdered them in your heart. Oh, as long as you don't commit adultery, you're good. But Jesus said, if you just look at a woman with lustful intent, you've committed adultery. It's not just what you do on the outside. And I would suggest to you that murder, sexual immorality, they start in the heart. Before it ever happens on the outside, they start in the heart. And so Jesus is just driving this point home. And the Pharisees, or sorry, not the Pharisees, the disciples, they go, Jesus, you offended the Pharisees. Did you not notice that? I think they were kind of mad. You offended them. And Jesus is like, he says, every plant my heavenly Father has not planted will be rooted up. In other words, when you plant something, weeds grow up all around it. You didn't have to plant those, right? And what he's saying is those weeds that grow, they weren't, my heavenly Father didn't plant them. They're going to be rooted up. They're blind guides. And so on no uncertain terms here, Jesus says, let them alone. And just a little side note, he said, he doesn't launch a campaign in opposition to the Pharisees. He doesn't go on his social media and say the 10 reasons why the Pharisees are wrong or pick apart their marriage. He just says, hey, leave them alone. Don't worry about it. Follow the word of God. Follow me. Listen to me. Be my disciples. And that's what we're supposed to do, not to pick apart others necessarily, but to just know what the word of God says and do it. Amen. And then Peter says, hey, explain to us the parable. And I already alluded to this, but the words here, he says, are you still without understanding? Almost like there's a sense, I don't think Jesus was mad. The scriptures tell us he's gentle and humble and lowly in heart. But there is some element of surprise here to Jesus. He's like, you don't understand yet? And even though that might have been true, what I like is that he still explains it to him, doesn't he? You know, what would we have done? I can't believe you don't understand that. And then just walked away. Right? It's not even worth trying to explain this to you again. No, but Jesus said, you don't understand. Okay, if you don't understand it, I'll explain it to you again. Why? Because he wants us to understand. He wanted them to understand. He wants us to understand. And so he makes it as clear as he can, and he explains. And in verses 19 and 20, he's just describing what defiles a person. He says, out of the heart comes evil thoughts, murder, adultery, sexual immorality, theft, false witness, slander. These are what defile a person. I don't think you could get it any clearer than that. I was worked for a sand and gravel company years ago, and we had a wheel loader that had contaminated engine oil. And we used it every day, and it was kind of a big deal. And we got to figure out what's going on here. Why is the oil contaminated? And so we changed the oil, and we took an oil sample. And you can take an oil sample and send it to a lab, and they'll analyze it and tell you what the contents of the oil and tell you, you know, the contaminants. But when we changed it, it looked really clean. Ah, that looks good. Put clean oil in it, good to go, right? No big deal. And, but you know what? In a couple days, it was contaminated again because we hadn't found the source of the contamination. You can change oil all you want, but it's never going to fix the problem. You can try to clean it up. We got the oil sample back, and it was coolant. There was coolant present in the oil. And so we did a couple other tests, and we were able to find that the coolant pump was dripping coolant into the front cover and contaminating the oil. And so we were able to put a coolant pump on it, cleaned it right up, because we had pinpointed the source of the contamination. And Jesus here in these verses pinpoints the source of contamination in our lives and in our world, actually. And it's the hearts of people. It's my heart, our hearts. The things that defile us, and that word defile could be translated pollute. Think of pollution. They're found right in our own hearts. Romans 5:12 tells us that just as sin came into the world through one man and death through sin, and so death spread to all men because all sinned. In other words, we inherited Adam's sin nature. And we've all sinned, haven't we? No amens. That's the fact of the matter, is we're all born with a contaminated heart. And just like running an engine with bad oil in it, it's going to tear it up. It's going to cause premature failure. Eventually, the contamination in our heart is going to bring nothing good. It's going to bring pain, hurt, suffering, not only in this life, but in eternity. Separation from God. It's going to keep us from the kingdom of God. And I know some of us this morning, maybe we've been looking at what's happening in the world, all around the world right now, and news headlines and whatever. And I would suggest you, man, if you're anything like me, I'm like, what is going on? Why are these things happening? You know, stories out of Iran and Russia, Ukraine, Venezuela, you know, all these things happening on the oceans, you know, it's like kind of raising some eyebrows, isn't it? What's going on? Well, I would suggest to you to pinpoint the reason. It's the hearts of men and women. It's the hearts of people that are causing strife and confusion because we're impure. We're unclean. Galatians 5:19 says, "The works of the flesh are evident: sexual immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmity, strife, jealousy, fits of anger, rivalries, dissensions, divisions, envy, drunkenness, orgies, and things like these. I warn you, as I warned you before, that those who do these things or practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God." That's a sobering verse, isn't it? Sobering verse for us. So question, if our heart is polluted, so what you're telling me is, I'm wicked, my heart's contaminated, and there's no hope. Well, no, there is hope, actually. If my heart's polluted, if I'm full of these things, then how am I cleansed? It's Jesus, by the way. Sunday school answer. Jesus came to cleanse us. Before our faith in Christ, we're not able to stand before God because of our contaminated hearts. But, and there must be a cleansing, right? There must be a washing. And in the same way in the Old Testament where there had to be a sacrifice made for that cleansing and washing, we also need a sacrifice. And Jesus served as that sacrifice. He lived on this earth. He died the death that I should have died. He hung on the cross to pay for my sins, to take away my sin, and rose from the grave, defeating sin and death. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. He's cleansed us. Oh, he's offered the cleansing required to us, but we have to acknowledge it, accept it. We have to acknowledge and say, yes, I recognize my heart's impure. I recognize I'm polluted. And Lord, I want to accept that. I want to apply that to my heart. Thank you for doing that. And we receive it as a gift. And if you've never done that, we're going to give an opportunity in a few minutes when we close. We'll have for you can come up, ask for prayer. The way you receive forgiveness is just a simple prayer. It's just to ask God into your heart, believe in Jesus, and you can do that today. But maybe you have done that. You're like, yeah, I've put my faith in Christ. I've accepted the Lord. I've had my sins forgiven. But man, I'm ashamed of some of the thoughts I've had this last week. I'm ashamed at some of the ways I've treated people I love this week. Or, man, I did some work in my house and I didn't get a permit. And, you know, whatever it might be. Because that happens, doesn't it? Even after we've been forgiven, even after we've accepted Christ. You see, God sees us as perfectly righteous. When he sees us in Christ, he sees you and me clothed in Jesus' righteousness. We're as righteous as we're ever going to be. We're going to heaven. Amen. We have a hope. And when he sees us, he sees the righteousness of Christ in you and in me when we put our faith in him. But practically, we still need a little work, don't we? But we can't, like the Pharisees, we can't just polish the outside. It doesn't work that way. We have to be cleansed from the inside out. And as our hearts are cleansed, as our hearts are purged of the contamination, he works those things out in our lives practically. And I know for me, it's been pretty slowly. Some things go quick. Some things come quick. And some things, it takes him a while to work them out of our lives. And that's okay. But we need to remember, he's the only one that can do it. And it starts in our hearts. And what we need, what I need to do, and what we need to do, more than trying to, well, I guess, do better, you know, clean up, oh, don't do the bad, oh, get a permit next time or whatever. Yeah, maybe you do need to get a permit next time, but what we need to do more than anything, what I need to do more than anything is just be close to Jesus, is just keep my eyes on Jesus, to be in his word, to be in prayer with him, to be in connection with him, to be worshiping him. Amen. Listening for his voice, experiencing his love for you and for me. And we have to be filled and empowered by the Holy Spirit. I'm going to have the worship team come back up. We'll close here in a few minutes. But you know, someone once said, and I think it's so true, the Christian life is not, you know, really hard, really difficult. It's not something that takes a lot of practice. It's not something that, you know, maybe after a year or two or 10 or 20 or 50, we'll have it down. The Christian life is impossible without the power of the Holy Spirit working in our lives. With the power of the Holy Spirit working in our lives, all things are possible. Amen. If God is for us, who can be against us? And maybe there's some things in your coming to your mind right now, you're like, yeah, man, God's pinpointed that in my heart. He's pinpointed that in my life. It's impossible. I don't think I could do it. You know what? If you just walk with Jesus, keep coming to church, keep being around his people, keep going to Bible study, keep reading your Bible, stay in prayer. You know how it's worked in my life? Is one of these days I look back and I look back 6 months and I go, wow, I haven't been thinking those impure thoughts for like the last few months. I look back and I go, I actually got a permit that time and no one had to tell me to. It happens like, it just happens. You don't have to strive. You don't have to try. Just stay close to the Lord. Amen. He'll change you. And then you'll look back and realize, oh, he's changing me. Man. Such a blessing. Thank you, Jesus. Galatians 5:16, just a couple more verses for you here. He says, I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. For the desires of the flesh are against the Spirit, and the desires of the Spirit are against the flesh. For these are opposed to each other to keep you from doing the things you want to do. We have to be filled with the Holy Spirit, guys. And when we remember the sacrifice, the way that Jesus has made to cleanse us, make us clean, to purge the contamination, he's going to do that work in our lives. He's going to help us day by day. He's going to help us to walk by the Spirit. And just one more verse, Acts 15:9 says he made no distinction between us and them. Peter here talking about the Jews, no distinction between who could be saved, Jews or Gentiles, but he's having cleansed their hearts by faith. How do we have our hearts cleansed? Jesus. How does this verse say? It's by faith. It's faith in Jesus. You trust Jesus. Keep your eyes on Jesus. Ask for the Spirit of Jesus. He'll cleanse your heart in a moment and moment by moment as we follow him. And so I'm going to close us out with a prayer. Our prayer team's going to be around the room. If you need prayer for anything this morning, if the Holy Spirit's put something on your heart, we're like, yeah, I need help with that. Yeah, I want to have my heart cleansed. Yeah, I want to receive cleansing for the first time, put my faith in Jesus for the first time, I encourage you during this time. We're just going to have a few minutes to respond. We're going to do one or two songs, whatever the Lord leads.
to respond to the Lord in this time. He wants to meet you. He wants to cleanse you. He wants to cleanse me. Amen. So, Father, thank you for today. Thank you for your great mercy. Your great mercy. Lord, we don't want to try to strive. We don't want to try to clean the outside and be like the Pharisees and end up like hypocrites or end up as hypocrites. But Lord, we recognize this morning that we're contaminated and that we need you to cleanse our hearts. Psalm 51 says, "Have mercy on me, O God, according to your steadfast love, according to your abundant mercy. Blot out my transgressions, wash me thoroughly from my iniquity, and cleanse me from my sin. Purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit in me." And Father, I pray for anyone in here this morning who's feeling just a little polluted. God, we know that you can clean, you can purge, you can renew, and you want to do that work this morning in this time. We call on your name. Do that work in Jesus' name. Amen.